Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's excessive. Probably it's true, you know, but it seemed to be a bit much. Hey, we're all here for the first time in 7 months. And how about Lindsay, Adam? She's brought us food. She's brought us lunch.
Nice.
Homemade, fantastic lunch. What have you presented us with?
Well, you haven't eaten it yet, so don't get ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
This was meal prepping on Sunday. Mm. So it is a chicken salad.
Nice.
I don't dress it because in our household, there is a standoff happening on how a chicken salad should be dressed.
Ooh.
John is straight up traditional mayonnaise, and I like to add a little flavor with some dressing.
I'm with you. But light amount of dressing. That's where I lean.
I think, you're a mayo guy, aren't you?
No, not really.
Yeah. Mayo, overrated.
See, I love mayo. Oh, I love mayo, just not on chicken salad.
In fact, when I order sandwiches like at Jimmy John's, I never get mayo. And the last time I went there, they put some on against my wishes, but it's like, wow, well, you know, I'll eat it. But it made it so slimy, and like the meat coming out of the, because it's, you squeeze the sandwich and the mayo.
Yeah.
The meat just squeezes in.
Boy, that can go. That's instant replay material all over the place, too. Well, in my quick story on that is I go to our place, Naf Naf, the other day, and I like to get light in the garlic. I think the gentleman, by the way, he did it again. He said, I'm sorry. He took like four scoopfuls, like big scoopfuls of the garlic. I went light,
yeah.
You know, so. I got to get right. Okay, so chicken salad.
And then a veggie salad that I made. It's garbanzo beans, cauliflower, broccoli, carrots, red onion.
Nice.
I can't remember what else. Basically, all the veggies I had in my fridge, some mixed greens, and then watermelon. And I didn't bring them.
Watermelon's so good.
But we had our first bounty from our garden Sunday night.
Our
radishes.
Your marijuana is growing very well?
No. Not trying that out. First time gardener here. I went strictly with the legal stuff.
Just go cannabis.
Yeah. No, we got a radish on Sunday night.
Nice.
It was great. Yeah.
I like radishes. All right. North Korea obviously is an enormous part of this show. We're going to have Mike Lyons from CBS in 15 minutes. We're going to have Matthew Dowd at 2:12. We also have a great interview we taped with the guest Sheila Smith from the Council of Foreign Relations. We have about 17 other phone calls out. If they all came through, we'd go till 10. But this is going to be the enormous part of the conversation. We're going to give some of our views. Mike Lyons is going to join us. 12:35, I want a series of phone calls. I want a lot of phone calls. I want a lot of texts. I want feedback. Here's my initial view, and then I'll get it from Adam and Lindsay. This is a start. It's a framework. But it's good. I'm really glad it happened. But there are zero specifics. And again, I'm not going to slide away from, I'm really glad this happened. Who knows how close we were to some sort of attack 8-10 months ago, the nonsense that was coming from both sides. And by the way, I'm not objective. I'm on team us. Okay? So I'll go back to one of the questions we asked yesterday. What was realistic? I didn't think there was going to be a press conference in the middle of the night and we were going to have independent people saying, it's all over. North Korea is now completely denuclearized. It's safe as can be. So again, I'm happy when I don't understand why we gave any concessions, though. Because right now, if you just judge it from last night on, and yes, three hostages are back, and that's vitally important. But they haven't shown us anything. This family walked away in 94. This family walked away in 05. And I am still extraordinarily skeptical, but desperately want this to happen. So why did we make any concession, including on the military exercises, which matter to some level? And the Pentagon said they had no idea the president was going to offer it up. So a good start. I'm pleased it happened. I'm troubled by when the president is telling me that he trusts him. No one should trust this guy. But I want Adam's comments. I want Lindsay's comments. I want your feedback starting now. We're not going to get to phone calls until 12:35, but I want a bunch of them then at 651-989-9226. What is your overall feeling? What is your reaction to my points? I want texts all throughout the show. 81807. Adam, I want you to go 8 minutes on the news so I can eat this great food. I have no doubt the president's rhetoric and sanctions played a significant part in this taking place. So the president deserves plenty of credit in this area. I would be happy if any president was having the summit. So I'll be clear on that. We're gonna talk about various parts of this all throughout the day. Give me your overall thoughts, Adam, as you look at what has taken place here.
Yeah, progress, I guess. Meeting with Kim Jong-un, I mean, I hope it works out, but I just look at it a bigger picture. Okay, we're alienating our friends, and we're meeting with a guy who's got a horrible record on human rights. I mean, if you investigate the situation in North Korea at all and the platitudes we're giving him, and that's great. I mean, if it ends the nuclear threat, absolutely. But in the bigger picture, I hope it works out with Canada, too, in the future, if we can maybe have a peaceful summit, too, with Canada. Because when the chips are down, if God forbid there is some sort of, you know, major, whether it be a terrorist attack or some other dictator in another part of the world, threats our country, decides, you know, it's time to go to war with America or any one of our allies, we're going to need the people that traditionally have been our friends all along. And
it was pretty stunning to have, in a two-day period, calling Justin Trudeau meek and the president's supporters upset about what Justin Trudeau said compared to the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things Donald Trump has said. And then talking about Kim Jong-un and how talented he is in his quote to George Stephanopoulos, and I give the president credit for sitting down with an actual journalist, unlike Sean Hannity. That was just embarrassing when it was coming out that Hannity was going to be his interview. His top advisor is Sean Hannity. Literally, his top advisor is Sean Hannity. And Hannity was going to interview him. That's embarrassing. So to the president's credit, he did. When when Stephanopoulos asked him, you trust him? Yes, I do trust him. Now, maybe we'll talk in a year or so and I made a mistake. That's always possible. How can you trust this guy? This guy has killed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, family members. There's about 120,000 people who are living in Nazi-style death camps right now. There are millions of people are starving. And where is it? There's another one that's even more stunning. When he said to the Voice of America, towards the people of North Korea, I think you have somebody that has great feeling for them. He wants to do right by them, and we get along really well. He's saying that about the people that he's been torturing and his family's been torturing for decades. So, again, I'm glad that he met. His bellicose, erratic words have played a part in this, strengthening the military. But why did we give up? I don't understand why we made any concession. I thought it was all about they're going to have to show us stuff before we move one step. And he didn't say he's pulling the military out.
No.
But the military exercises do matter. And you know who they matter to? Most importantly,
South Korea.
Correct. Who has to look at that? So, fine on the framework. Don't give a damn thing. But let's see. It is the start. I don't want to lose that. And I want to see how quickly they meet again. I want to see what Pompeo has to say, because the president was hinting to Stephanopoulos that more is coming. So let's wait and see. And keep that going. Keep the text coming. 81807 and plenty of phone calls in about 15 minutes. Mike Lyons in moments. Mike Lyons is an outstanding military analyst for CBS. We've chatted with him a number of times before. He is a West Point graduate and a combat veteran. He served our country in a fantastic fashion, and Mr. Lyons is good enough to join us. Mike, always a pleasure. I just was talking about the military exercises and the decision by the president on that. What was your reaction when you found out that was a part of what is taking place in the very, very early stages of this agreement?
I wasn't surprised that we've canceled those exercises before. They're very large, defensive in nature. They're not war planning or war gaming. That's the other kind of spin to this. They're not about attacking North Korea. They're about the defense of South Korea. They've been going on for a very long time, since the 1990s. You call them Team Spirit. They involve troops coming in from all parts of the world, in fact, and there are multiple services involved, the Air Force is involved, Navy, and the Army units on the ground, command and control, a lot of radios, lots of, you know, command and control and structure. But I wasn't surprised, and I think that you're going to see – I think you'll eventually see troops out of – South Korea at some point, maybe not in the next few years, but any kind of disarmament of nuclear capability of North Korea. If I'm North Korea, I'm going to ask for that, and I think this president instinctively wants to bring these troops home.
CNN has reported in the last 30 minutes or so that Defense Secretary Mattis was in on this conversation, so this did not come as a surprise to you. The president has been unpredictable. That's been a part of his success in winning the election and also the first 500-some days. Would you have expected that the defense secretary knew about this well in advance?
Well, I'm sure he knew it was on the table. And you saw from the meeting yesterday, in fact, the North Korean equivalent of their secretary of defense was actually in the room, one of the six that were in the extended negotiations that took place. And that's how North Korea views it. I think, again, you know, we have General Kelly there, who's chief of staff with a kind of a direct line to General Mattis. Mike Pompeo also has a military background there. I think that the reality is the fact that, 28,000 troops in South Korea right now don't have the same conventional effect as they might have had 20 years ago. You know, Jimmy Carter pulled 30,000 out back in the 70s.
You can
argue that, you know, with the 350,000 South Korean Katusa army that's there, the 28,000 troops don't, you know, really add a lot of value. I'm not saying they're not important, don't get me wrong, but from a conventional perspective, they're not going to add a lot of combat power.
Yeah, considering what we're talking about and the nuclear capability, if the worst of worst happened and some sort of attack would take place, how essential is it that we would have those 28,000 troops right there at that location?
Well, they would help initially, and they would be there for command and control. But to predict on how a groundwork would go in the Korean Peninsula is very challenging. And who's to say we would even be able to reinforce them? I mean, we had a couple hundred thousand there during the Korean War at any given time. You'd have to put a tremendous number in order to match up and butt up against the 600,000 or so that are coming from North Korea if they decided to cross that border. So I don't know how also we reinforce troops there. I could tell you a story back during the Desert Storm time frame. It was told that if the Iraqis took over Saudi Arabia, it would take us 4 years and a D-Day-like invasion in order for us to get a foothold back into that country. Well, that to me is unthinkable, right?
Yeah, right.
So that's the same thing there. If we lose South Korea, are we willing to wait 4 years in a D-Day-type invasion to put, you know, troops on the ground? This is where troops on the ground really matter.
Major Mike Lyons is with us. Mike, what is your assessment of the military capabilities that North Korea has?
Attrited, and they were a lot better 20 years ago, both in volume and equipment. They were military funded and supplied mostly by Russians, Russian army equipment, but I'm not sure they've seen a spare part in a long time. I think what they've got is volume and mass. So you look at the principles of war, they have people that are willing to throw themselves out there. But the bottom line is whether they could sustain it over a period of time, I just don't think that's the case. They do outnumber the South Koreans when it comes to total numbers. But in order for them to be successful, you've got to attack in ratios of, you know, 3-1. They don't have that kind of ratio for them to think that they could win a battle inside of South Korea. And then the South Koreans go on the counteroffensive. If we get to that spot, They can easily kind of run the place over. So I don't think their military capability, especially conventional, is what it was. Their military capability right now is nuclear weapons. They put a nuclear weapon close to the border and set it off. You're talking they could potentially kill 100,000 people.
You are an astute person. You have a number of contacts in the military. You know people who study Kim Jong-un often. From those conversations, I want your thoughts on the biggest question of all. Why is Kim Jong-un doing this, and why should we trust him?
Well, he's doing it because I think he has to. He's been forced to the table based on the conditions of his country. He's concerned about internal forces and coup. I think that's the greatest, really, threat he has is what's going to come inside of North Korea as opposed to external forces. And so when the United States says we're going to help him with his security, I don't know how we're going to actually do that, because we might be able to keep external threats out, but he's got threats internally, especially from some of those in the military. You look at the way a coup d'etat would work. Somebody could turn equipment against him. Why should we trust him? We really can't. I think he's got to prove to the rest of the world that he's going to be different. I mean, in this case, you have where in the past the North Korean leaders have lied to the United States and lied to the world, but I think this time he recognizes there's going to be clear consequences. And I don't think that I think Donald Trump means business. He's not kicking the can down the road anymore. He can flip that switch from "you're my favorite guy in the world" to "you're the worst guy in the world," knowing full well that he has the military, backing behind him.
The last thing is kind of picking up on your last answer. If he does give up a significant, if not all, of his nuclear capability, which all of us should want, let's highly emphasize that everybody should want that. Is he then more vulnerable for other people to try to overthrow him? Or is the idea that he would be getting so much money and so many other assets that it would help him out in other ways?
Yeah, I think the Chinese will have a say in that. They're going to determine his fate as well. I think that if kind of the expression of rising tides raise all boats would help all of those inside of North Korea. He would obviously take care of a certain amount of working class that's there now, which he does already. So there are groups of people that are very loyal to him. He'd have to worry about kind of an uprising that took place, that bubbled up from the lower classes. They wouldn't have any real capability. That kind of security threat would easily be thwarted, I think. And also the nuclear capability, he might keep some energy. He might be able to use that technology in that regard. We just don't want him to weaponize it. That was the wraparound with the Iranian capability. They wanted it for hospitals and other things that you could use nuclear capability for. But you can argue a country like that, given all its resources in oil and gas, shouldn't have to do it. North Korea doesn't have that same level of resource.
Major Mike Lyons with us. Mike, as always, thank you for the insight. We'll reach out again.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It is 12:28. Adam's News is coming up, and then I'm going to give it, and I want you to chime in. Your overall reaction, your specific reaction. We're going to set it up in a little bit after news also, but I want your feedback and I want plenty of phone calls. You want to line up right now? That'd be fantastic. 651-989-9226. All right, among the texts coming in, and we'll get to plenty of phone calls, you got to make a point. You got to have a little clarity about you. You got to say what you're going to say. And if you're reasonable, we will put you on the air. If it's just to scream and yell, you're not getting on the air. It's just simple as that. And if anybody calls and is disrespectful to Lindsay, my encouragement is to Lindsay to hang up in 1 second. She's more patient than I. But if you want to call, I'd love to put on calls. Agree with me, completely disagree with me. 651-989-9226. Among the texts, I'm fairly apolitical. So my opinion is it's a good thing for all involved. People talking face-to-face is more preferable than what was going on. I would have felt the same if Obama would have done the same thing. Obama couldn't have done the same thing. No details have been disclosed about the meeting. Therefore, I would suggest spending no time talking about it. Report the news. Don't try to create it. Tim G., you have no clue what we're doing here. It is a talk show where a talk show is supposed to offer opinions, strong ones, specific ones, backed by facts, and cause people to listen to the show and react. This is not just a news show for 3 hours where we disseminate information. If it was, we'd be doing something different. But that's not what we're doing here. This text, I'm going to read verbatim. How can we trust the Germans, the Italians, the Japs? Yep, the Japs. That's from this person. The Brits, the British, Spaniards, and many countries where we've seriously warred against. Canada wasn't our friend at one time either. Trump's a true masculine diplomat. He gets her done. Okay. I don't have any doubt that the mask and the words and the buildup of the military's played a part of this. And for that, he deserves credit. But the nonsense with Canada, with the meek, please, come on. I'm not a tariff fan. By the way, I'm a center-right person on the tariffs because that's much more of a Republican philosophy. I'm not with Bernie Sanders on tariffs, okay? But, I mean, let's not compare our relationship with Canada and this guy. Please, Chad, if you ever negotiate anything, actually plenty of things. You don't start calling your opponent names. You automatically are disqualified. He called them little rocket man. He talked about his weapons bigger and more accurate. So if that's your premise, then I think you're concussed. Imagine if Obama made this deal. Yeah, I really think, and he didn't, so we got to emphasize that. We also have to emphasize this is a framework. But are you truly telling me the conservatives right now would be reacting the same way, much like I think a lot of Democrats are being frauds when they won't give the president credit for anything? But let's not change facts. Let's just look at what's happened so far. Remember North Korea and Canada are two separate issues? Sure, I do remember that. But I'm going to judge the words of the leader of the free world when he's going after the premier of Canada and talking about a man who imprisons 120,000 people and tortures them and kills family members when he says he's a very talented individual and he's looking out for the people of North Korea. Okay, so we got to put all of this in perspective. Mark is on the station here on CCO, 651-989-9226. What's on your mind, Mark?
Well, thanks for taking the call. The thrust of the call is going to be to support the president over the last 24, 48, 72 hours, including the G7. And my comments should be prefaced by the fact that I've been independent since 96 when I cast my first vote as a young person. And what's clear to me in trying to step back and look at everything, not only domestic but international politics, what's clear to me is our approach to North Korea, our approach to NAFTA over the last 20, 30 years has not produced positive results. So we have an individual, I know he's got a lot of warts, I know he's hard to look at, I know sometimes he's hard to listen to. But you look at what happened yesterday, and anybody with an IQ over 80 has to come to the conclusion that there was success there. Now, I can't imagine that Trump or Pompeo, anybody that's sitting at the table with North Korean representatives and starts name-calling or raking them over the coals for human rights violations and all of that, is going to get anywhere with them, because that's been the philosophy of past administrations.
Yeah, but Mark, let me just chime in briefly. You do realize the president was engaged in name-calling towards Kim Jong-un until about 3 months ago, right? That little rocket man and making fun of him, right? So that was a part of what happened for an extended period of time. It's not like Donald Trump has been a diplomat for the entire time during this, right?
No, I would agree with you. We're not going to argue about that. It's not very presidential. It's not like I don't, and I voted for Trump. I'm going to put it out there. I voted for Trump.
No problem.
I wince. I wince when I read some tweets. I wince when I hear him say some things. But what I have to look at, and I don't want to use the analogy of sausage because we're talking about human lives.
Right.
Development of nations and so on. I look at where did all of that get us? It got us to the table.
It's fair.
It got us.
Right.
Right. And as far as NAFTA, and I have to put this out there about NAFTA, and I'm not going to claim that I knew anything.
I knew anything more than the average person about NAFTA until I took the time as an individual, and I encourage everybody to do this, just read about it. Read what the constructs of NAFTA was when it was developed. There weren't supposed to be any tariffs between North American countries, Canada, Mexico, and the United States. It's supposed to be tariff-free. And here we are, flash forward, decades later, 250% tariffs, 25% on steel. How did all this happen?
But you do know that there's a lot of data that the president is picking and choosing, right? I mean, there are a lot of areas where we're doing extraordinarily well with Canada, Mexico. Mark, thank you for the call. Please call in again, 651-989-9226. Listen, I will reiterate again, meeting face-to-face, I'm all for it, okay? I thought some of the words were absurd, okay? Some of it. But some areas of his unpredictability and his military buildup, not just dopey little me, but people who are military experts, they believe that played a part. Fine. Let's do that. Let's meet face-to-face. I'm going to circle back to something, by the way, too. Remember when candidate Senator Obama said he was willing to meet with various people, various opposition leaders, and Hillary Clinton first laughed at him, said that, are you kidding? You apparently just patted him on the head. You know, go back to the Senate. And other Republicans did the same thing. Now, did he go far enough? Nope. Because the buildup continued. Much like it continued under W, much like it continued under Bill Clinton. And this is a framework. This is a start. We don't know if it leads to success, but I'm 100% pleased that it happened. But what we do here is analyze the events. And included in those events were the president, were the words of the president, because the president was very clear about words matter. When Barack Obama would not call out radical Islam and radical Muslims. And by the way, I agreed with him that you can do that, that you can differentiate. So words do matter. So then the words matter when you're saying to this guy, this murderer, that he's a very talented individual and words and caring for people in his country when they've been oppressed. So let's see where it goes next. But the last caller was an independent. I'm all for that. I just don't want people to fall back in the tribes automatically, meaning the Republicans automatically love it and the Democrats automatically are going to hate it. And this is an opinion show. We're going to back it up by facts and the material that is out there. Okay, we'll pause here. We can take more phone calls. We can take more texts. It's up to you. 651-989-9226. Text away 81807. All North Korea this hour. Plenty more in North Korea throughout the show. Chime in. It's 1250. That is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to improve the look of your home with our clog-free Leaf Guard brand gutters. Track down a story going back to when Barack Obama made some of the comments about meeting with other leaders, including ones that were despicable at times, like Kim Jong-un, the South Korean president at the time, said he would welcome and support this. The president and his team put out a statement that they would look forward to meeting, but they didn't do it. So would that, and it would have been more conventional. Let's just be honest. It would have been, okay, we're willing to meet. It would have been, you know, hundreds of folks on both sides getting together, laying out things, and it wouldn't have happened in such a short period of time. Let's be honest. The traditional way that our country and the administrations have handled North Korea to a point of convincing them to stop their nuclear capabilities, it hasn't worked. Now, were people willing to go to the military side? Were the restrictions too soft? That's up for history to decide. In the end, it didn't happen, and thus criticism is fair. Let's see what are the next steps going forward. Okay? Framework is good. Some of the words I don't care for at all. That doesn't change where this may go. Let's get more of the text here. NAFTA was never tariffs-free, as dairy and lumber products were not included in that particular agreement. I think, and listen, there's a divide in this country on NAFTA, on both parties. But the president's words on trade were very clear. He's also said many, many times, trade wars are easy to win, and the hammer and the leverage we have. Most people don't think they're that easy to win. Most people in his party are not pleased with what he's doing. History is going to show us. I am much more of a free trader than I am on protectionism and restrictions. So let's see where that one goes. The right wing went nuts when Obama even suggested talking with Kim a few years ago. I hope we get peace, but Kim's made this promise to other presidents. Well, his father certainly has and turned out to be a complete liar. How successful were previous administrations on human rights and denuclearization in North Korea? Trump is unconventional and results-driven. More text. Trump shook hands with a killer. Trump created the nuclear collision with North Korea by agitating Kim. He deserves no credit. He's simply attempting to undo one of his many messes. Well, again, I hated the words. I thought they were childish. But to act like he walked into a smooth situation and he's messed it up, no. Even as now the well-reported conversation he had with Obama as Obama was leading, where he said the biggest issue ahead of you is North Korea. Keep the text coming in. We have good guests coming up, including Matthew Dowd, an outstanding expert from the Council of Foreign Relations, where we can get away from North Korea at different times, including a reasonable bout next hour. Don't forget the Twins on the station tonight. They are in Detroit taking on the Tigers. 5:30 pregame, first pitch, about 6:10.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.